Marcus Stroman is with us, our Blue Jay a day for tonight. Marcus, welcome aboard, and thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, good to be on. Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you on. You made a heck of an impact in your first year in the big leagues, and we talked many times. You're very interactive with the fans. A lot of people feel like they know you quite well. Tell me what it was like. I mean, start to finish, now that it's over and that you've had 3 weeks to kind of look back on it, your first year in the major leagues.
Yeah, it was amazing. It's an unbelievable experience. Getting called up, you know what I mean, going through that whole process and having pretty good success the entire year. But I feel like I was able to learn the entire year, and just being around the guys in the clubhouse was awesome, and just going out there and competing every fifth day was exactly how I imagined it. So I'm excited for next year.
Yeah, I think we're all excited for next year, and you and Aaron Sanchez and Drew Hutchison are a big part of that. It's not like a changing of the guard is going on. R.A. Dickey and Mark Burley both had a very, very good year for the Blue Jays. So it's not like you guys are taking over for those guys. But how did it feel to be part of, you weren't just there on your own. There was a whole big group of young players who were really making an impact on the Blue Jays this year.
Yeah, like you said, it was pretty special to have kind of a young group of guys make an impact that quick in the big leagues. Homegrown guys such as Drew and Sanchez being one of my best friends. Having him up there was awesome. Just being able to go through the whole process of playing in the big leagues and everyday lifestyle with one of your best friends there has been so special and so surreal. So just blessed to be in the big leagues and excited for the future for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Is there a game that stands out for you more than any of the other ones?
I definitely have to say probably the game against the Cubs, a complete game, just because that's the first time I've ever thrown a complete game in my life. So definitely that game. And then I'd have to say the last game I pitched, my last start at Yankee Stadium, just because of the whole aura surrounding Jeter and it being Jeter's last weekend series and being able to pitch against him. So definitely those two are the ones that stand out.
Yeah, those I can imagine. You also had a 9-inning outing that wasn't a complete game as well. So I don't know if that counts for you as much as finishing the game, walking off with the victory and doing it that way. But that Jeter game, facing him and with all that aura that you mentioned, striking him out the first time he came to the plate must have been a little extra special for you.
Yeah, that was it's pretty amazing, you know, just being someone that I used to strive to be growing up, being from Long Island, New York, and someone who I used to watch on a daily basis, being able to pitch against him in his last weekend series with huge crowd and being able to strike him out, it's pretty surreal. It's the kind of stuff you dream about. So that was a great experience. And the complete game too. Ever since I kind of found that sinker, I kind of allowed me to go deeper in the game, something I would have never been able to do in previous years. I would always go 5-6 innings, so that was pretty special as well.
Yeah, and it was a lot of fun to watch. That Cubs series came at a time where you guys needed to win a bunch of games to make your way back into a playoff race. You did win a bunch of games and got right back in things. And this was a team that, with 2 weeks left in the season, was right in the thick of a race. The race won eventually by Kansas City, who's in the World Series right now, and Oakland for those wild cards. What was it like from that perspective to go through? And there were ups and downs. It was a ridiculous roller coaster type year for the Blue Jays. But to be there in the middle of September and be in the race, how much did that add to your rookie year and how special it was?
Yeah, for sure. You know, anytime you can have an opportunity to make it to the playoffs, you want to do everything in your power to get there. And I feel like every day I showed up, every single individual on the team had all their everything invested into going out there, doing everything that they could to get wins. And it's a great group of guys. I truly believe that. I let every single person in that clubhouse. And just because it didn't work out like we wanted it to, didn't mean that we weren't doing everything in our power to get there. But it was tough, you know, because, like you said, we started off pretty hot, then we hit a slump in the middle there, and then we were rebounding, trying to push towards the end. But all along the way, it was a huge learning curve, especially for me, a huge learning experience. And I'm happy that the guys that were in the clubhouse were there because they taught me a lot about the game of baseball and life in general. And it's a great balance between veteran guys and young guys, and everyone gets along, and it was a great experience. I couldn't have been any better, to be honest with you. It was great.
With Marcus Stroman, and when I talked to you at the end of the season, as your teammates voted you the Blue Jays Rookie of the Year, you pointed specifically to one guy, Mark Burley, and the impact that he had on you. My observations of Burley over the last 2 years is that he's not a rah-rah guy, he's not a loud guy, but he is someone that it seems almost unequivocally every single one of his teammates absolutely adored.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. Like you said, he's not a rah-rah guy, but he's the type of guy who will pull me aside and tell me things on a daily basis. Kind of let me know when I'm doing things right, let me know when I'm doing things wrong. He's almost like a father figure on the team for me. There's many things where I could be flashy at times, so there'll be times that he tells me I need to tone it down or kind of what's okay, what's not okay. So just having someone like that of his stature who's gone 14 straight years, just on 200 innings plus, which is an unbelievable feat. Just having him as a role model on your team is pretty special. And anything he has to offer, I always have my ears open. I'm always learning, trying to learn as much as I can from him.
It's interesting that you said that you feel like you can be a little bit of flashy at times. And I was talking about that earlier today when I was on with Jeff Blair on our local station. And for me, there's a distinction and there's a big difference. There are guys who seek out the cameras and the microphones and turn on the big smile when they know that reporters are around. And there are guys who are just accessible and who have good things to say and are happy to help out when people want to talk to them. I never found you, and I can't imagine anyone would think, that you're the guy who really seeks out. You were a guy who we came to because we knew that you were going to give us good stuff, and we knew that you were accessible. For me, anyway, from the reporting end of that, I don't find that to be someone who's, you know, too flashy and too camera happy by any means.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm pretty much the same with everyone. I'm genuine. I'm always have a smile on my face. I always try to make the best of every situation, and that's just kind of who I am. I just try to be myself regardless of the situation. I never try to act like someone I'm not. And I truly do. I enjoy every situation. I have a smile on my face, and I don't let negative things get me down. I stay as positive as I can be. That's just kind of how I live my life, and that's kind of how I was raised from my parents to my grandmother to everyone that's kind of had their that's kind of raised me throughout my whole life. So that's just kind of how I am, and I'm not afraid to speak my mind or get in front of an interview or the like. I'm just genuine, and that's kind of who I am.
Yeah, that's certainly how we've perceived you to be, for sure. And since you gave me the segue, you changed your number from 54 to 6. You mentioned your grandmother. It's to honor her. It is weird seeing a pitcher with a single-digit number. You're going to be the third Blue Jay pitcher ever to wear a single digit. Is that the only, like, were there other considerations? The fact that you and Aaron Sanchez, when you stand side by side, will have Toronto's area code on your back of 416. What led you to make the switch, and what were the other considerations to switch to that number?
Yeah. I wanted 54 was kind of given to me. 54 wasn't a number that I had any say in. So I kind of wanted a number. I believe in having a number that kind of means something to you. I wore 6 in high school, actually, and I've wore a single digit my entire life. I wore 7 in the fall league, which is Reyes' number, but I wore a single digit my entire life. And I decided that I looked at the roster and 6 was available, and I knew that's my grandma's birthday. And I wanted to have a number on my back that meant something to me. And she was a big part of my life. And she didn't have the opportunity to be here to see me pitch in the big leagues. So I kind of wanted to put that number on my back to kind of honor her. And that was the only thing going into it. I know it's kind of a weird number for a pitcher to wear because they don't wear single digits. But I wanted to have a number that had meaning and that I wanted to pick. I didn't want to have a number that was necessarily assigned to me and that I had no say in.
And it kind of cements your status as a big leaguer as well. And it's great that you you did it with meaning. Josh Towers and your teammate Kyle Drabek, the other Blue Jays, with single-digit numbers. Now, Benito Santiago used to catch for the Blue Jays a long time ago. He wore number 9, but felt as a catcher that he didn't have enough balance with a single-digit number, so he wound up wearing 09. Are you worried at all about a lack of balance with one digit in the middle of your back?
No, I'm good to go. I've worn that number several times before. And like I said, I wore a single digit majority of my life. I've never worn a 2-digit number my entire life, so it's pretty normal for me.
All right, I'm glad you'll be able to maintain your balance. We're with Marcus Stroman, and he's here to take your calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. It is the Blue Jay A Day pregame show. Game 2 of the World Series, first pitch, is about 42 minutes away. Let's get to the phones. Peter is in Toronto. Peter, you're going to lead things off with Marcus Stroman. Say hello.
Hey, how you doing, Marcus?
Hey, how's it going, man?
All right, man. Long time, big fan of yours, and a long time season ticket holder for the Jays as well. My question to you is, knowing that the Blue Jays were so close this year to just make into a postseason. I mean, we all know as fans, and it must be around the players as well, that it's been 21 years since this team has played a competitive game. How was the feeling in the clubhouse when the ownership decided to go to Anthopoulos and say, we're going to stand pat, we're not going to raise the payroll, and no deals are to be made? How was the feeling amongst the players? I mean, we know Batista came out into the media, but Batista's one of the leaders. I was just wondering how it was generally received in the dugout.
Before Marcus answers that, let me just say that let's not assume facts that are not in evidence. Alex Anthopoulos has said many times that he had the money to do what he wanted to do, and that that the right baseball trades were not presented to him. That said, there certainly was some controversy in that clubhouse, Marcus, at the end of July.
Yeah, like you said, there may have been some concerns, but to be honest with you, we weren't affected at all by no moves being made in the clubhouse. We believed in every single person on that team. We showed up every day. We worked hard. We did everything in our power to put ourselves in a position to make the playoffs. And every single person believed that we could get the job done with the team we had out there. Just didn't work out like it did, but every single person in that clubhouse has faith in one another to go out there and get the job done and to be able to get wins. So that honestly didn't affect me, and I don't believe it affected that many guys in the clubhouse.
All right. We move on to Adam is in Milton, listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Adam, say hi to Marcus Stroman.
Hey, Marcus. Thanks a lot for taking my call. I got kind of just two kind of questions for you. One is kind of how players deal with the media. You know, you play in Toronto. You're a predominant figure. Regardless of if you're going to the grocery store or to a restaurant, you're obviously going to get recognized. You know, you open any newspaper, any television news show, you guys are going to be all over the news. How tough is it to kind of just have to ignore all that or just totally not read that stuff, kind of seclude yourself from that? Is it kind of frustrating sometimes just being able to not have your own kind of little privacy there? And then my second question is, in Toronto, there's always been a big debate for baseball and basketball that it's tough to get free agents to kind of come to Toronto. Obviously, you probably grew up not, you know, dreaming of playing for the Toronto Blue Jays. Is there something kind of about the city of Toronto that maybe surprised you once you kind of got here and explored it? Something where you're just like, you know, that's not as bad as I anticipated, or that's a lot better than I anticipated?
Yeah, okay.
That's so two big questions right there.
As far as your first question, I think as far as like media and Twitter and all that, I think that has to do with personality type, just based on the individual, if they can handle it. I've never been one to shy away from it. I'm pretty active on Twitter, on social media, on Instagram. I've never shied away from interacting with fans in the city of Toronto, downtown. Like, I enjoy that. You know what I mean? I'm in a position now that I've worked my entire life for, so I figure why not enjoy everything that comes with it. So as far as that goes, I love the fan interaction. I love going out. I don't feel like that I'm losing privacy or anything from it. If I need to go somewhere that needs to be secretive or something like that, obviously I'm not going to tweet about it or anything. But as far as interacting with the media and fans, I enjoy every single part of that, for sure. Second question. What we have there, Wilner?
Second question. Yeah, it was about free agents
having
a hard time luring free agents to the city. What did you find out about Toronto?
Honestly, I'm not lying when I say this, and just because I play for the Blue Jays, but Toronto's honestly probably one of my top three favorite cities I've ever been to. I love everything about it. I love the food. I love the weather there. I love the atmosphere. I love everything about it. And I honestly think that people maybe have a stigma in their head about possibly what Toronto's possibly like just because it's in Canada, being from the U.S. I'm not sure, but since I've been here, I loved everything, every part of it. And I believe that if anyone came up to Toronto and stayed for an extended period of time, they would think the same. So as far as getting people here, I think it has more of a thing to do with that it's outside of the simple fact that it's outside of the United States of America, and obviously baseball is an American pastime. That might be the hardest thing, but I believe that if someone was to come up there and visit for an extended period of time, they would fall in love with the city just like I did.
Now, you were here for the rookie camp last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you landed, it was like minus 35. And
yeah,
you love the weather here?
Going to Canada during the winter, but during the baseball season, it's pretty prime time.
All right, just making sure. But with Marcus Stroman, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, less of me and more of you. Prime Minister Stephen Harper is expected to address the nation at 7:45 Eastern Time, and we will carry that live for you as well. Until then, it's the Blue Jay A Day Show with Marcus Stroman on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to the Blue Jay A Day pregame show. We're getting you set for Game 2 of the World Series. Jake Peavy and Yordano Ventura. Toronto's own Dan Shulman will have the call along with Aaron Boone. And the first pitch is set to fly in about 31 minutes. We have Marcus Stroman with us on our Blue Jay A Day pregame show. Blue Jays Rookie of the Year in 2014. And but for the presence of some dude named Jose Abreu, would have a very good shot of being the American League Rookie of the Year this year. Second segment is less of me, more of you. I'm going to ask to be quick and ask one question so we can get as many people as possible to talk to Marcus before we go to Ottawa to hear from Prime Minister Stephen Harper on the attack on Parliament Hill today. Let's get back to the phones. Jesse, you're on with Marcus Stroman. Say hi.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
First of all, I'd like to say I'm a big fan of both of you. Stroman, I love watching you pitch, and Mike, I listen to you every night.
Awesome, and I get first name treatment. How about that, Marcus?
I'm a young fan, but a big fan. My question is, Stroman, I want to know what you did to get to where you are today, and do you have any advice for me in my baseball career?
Yeah, for sure, man. Definitely hard work. Definitely started with my parents in the household, just kind of pushing me to be the best I can be in school and on the field every single day. Kind of took those roots with me, and all through life, I was doubted on a lot. Being a small guy, I wasn't supposed to make it, but I kind of just kept my head down, used that as motivation to work even harder, stayed out of trouble, focused on school and getting good grades, and that was pretty much it, man, and everything else kind of took care of itself.
And you mentioned it yourself before I could. You've shown that you don't have to be 6'4", 240 to make it in the big leagues. And I know how much of a point of pride that is for you.
Absolutely. HDMH, height doesn't measure heart, kind of live by that.
Absolutely. Alan in Toronto, you're next with Marcus Stroman.
Hi, Marcus. Thank you very much for taking my call. I still remember May the 6th, in Philadelphia, Jimmy Rollins grounding out to Encarnacion and throwing out to you for the ninth inning out. That was really something in front of your family. As you were growing up, Did you go to the, I guess you were only about 9 years old, did you go to the Mets-Yankees World Series game in 2000? And did you go to more Mets games or more Yankees games? I understand that you're not a fan of either one of them. Did you go to Yankee Stadium more or Shea Stadium more?
Yeah, I did not. I was not at that World Series game, unfortunately. I would have loved to have been there. And growing up, I probably went to more games at Shea Stadium, to be honest with you. My childhood, I kind of remember going to Shea a little more. I actually played a couple games at Shea with my travel team. So I remember being there more than Yankee Stadium.
That's and that's, you know, we always wonder about New York fans, and obviously the Mets are just on the tip of the Long Island right there. But it seems like there are a lot of Met fans in New York. All right, I promise less of me. Carissa in Mississauga. Carissa, you're on with Marcus Stroman. Say hi.
Hi, Stroman.
What's going on?
Nothing. I just want to say first that I'm a really big fan, and I actually got to see you pitch live that one hitter against Boston, which was pretty impressive.
Awesome. Thank you.
I just wanted to know how it felt to see Goins make that outstanding play behind you in the complete game shutout against the Cubs.
Yeah, that was pretty special. You definitely saw my reaction, actually, and I think I posted actually a picture on Instagram, kind of my reaction, my hands up, and that was exactly how I was feeling at the time. Just for it being, like you said, it was close to a complete game, and it was definitely a tough play because Goins was shifted all the way over, so he had to run all the way back and jump in there, feel it with his bare hand. I was just sitting on the mound like, wow, that's going to be number one on ESPN's top 10. So, yeah, it was pretty special, but Goins, he's the man. He's probably, I think he's the best defensive second baseman in all of baseball. I've seen him make unbelievable plays, even coming up through the minor league. So he does it with the glove better than any of them.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get much of an argument about that, absolutely, from watching Ryan here the last couple of years. We got time for one more call. We're going to go to Oakville, listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Drazen, say hello to Marcus Stroman.
Hey, Mike, hey, Stro, how are you?
How's it going, man?
Good. Hey, quick question. You know, like a couple of Blue Jays players, you know, over history have had their, you know, deliveries tweaked. You know, Halladay was sent down, had his delivery tweaked. Romero has been sent down, kind of trying to retweak his delivery. Has your delivery changed at all over the years?
Yes, it has. But to be honest with you, very slightly. Just a few adjustments here and there that I've made along the way. I feel like my delivery is pretty unique to who I am and allows me to get the most out of my body being small, having a small stature. So it's tweaked slightly over the years. I've actually gone back and watched a video from when I was super young, and there's still very, very similar actions in the delivery. So it hasn't changed much over the years.
That's very cool. And I know guys tweak and change and tinker, and a lot of times to their detriment. It's good that you're doing what has made you successful. Marcus, thank you for this. Wish we could have you on for longer. Absolutely. It's been a real treat getting to know you, and I look forward to continuing to watch you grow and develop as a big leaguer. It really does seem as though the sky is the limit. You're a rookie, so you don't know this, but our tradition here on the Blue Jay A Day pregame show is to find a number, find a stat that you might not know about the year that you had, that you probably don't, and that you'll be happy with. Something to keep you happy into spring training. And we all know how important it is to get the first out of an inning. Huge for a pitcher. This year in the big leagues, when facing the first batter of an inning, you held that hitter to a 184 batting average with a 250 on base, a 506 OPS. So the leadoff man was thoroughly and utterly dominated by you over the course of this season, which is, that's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty special. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
You're more than welcome, and we hope you continue to do it. Have a great winter. We will see you in Dunedin. And, again, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Hey, hold on. I got to say hi to my mom. She's listening. I'm actually out with one of my friends right now, but my mom's back home listening. Hi, Mom. I love you.
Is that Baby Bon Bon that you're out with?
I'm with Baby Bon Bon right now. We're going to get some dinner.
All right. He's becoming a cult figure here in Toronto. That's awesome. Say whatever you want to your mom.
Yeah, Mom, I love you. Thank you for listening. You hold it down. Dad, you're not listening, but I love you too.
All right. Thanks a lot, Marcus. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.